If you'd like to support this ministry, you'll find information at the end of this podcast.
Okay, we might open our Bibles up. We're going to talk about baptism, water baptism. The Bible says in John 3, I think it's 4, it says, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you won't enter into the kingdom of God. So we're going to talk about baptism and really what it means. Well, first we'll go into the Greek rendering. The Greek rendering for baptism is baptizo. Translated, means to dip or immerse. Doesn't mean sprinkle with water. It doesn't mean anything like that at all. It doesn't mean stand in water and have someone just pour a little bit of water over your head. It's got nothing to do with any of that. The correct word is baptizo, and it means to dip or immerse, to dye. When you dye something, when you dye a bit of cloth, you don't wave it over the water. You don't sprinkle a bit of coloured water over the cloth and hope that it's all going to be completely dyed. No, you immerse it into the water completely. That's what baptizo means. And that's what baptism is supposed to be. It's just through religion that we change things. We change the ordinances of God, and we expect God to honour those things. God won't honour a lie. God says, you do it my way, or you do it no way. So this is the way that the Lord has instigated for us to do, is to baptize people by full immersion. Okay, whenever baptism is described in the Bible, it's clear that people were fully immersed. It says, we'll just go to Acts chapter 8. And you can read in verse 36, it says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. So he didn't stand beside the water and just tip a bit of water over him. They went down into the water. When Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and the dove ascended upon him. Okay? So we know that baptism is full immersion. So why do people get baptized? We'll go back to, we'll just speak about Martin Luther now. He wrote, this is one of the quotes that he wrote, I would advise those to be baptized to be altogether dipped in the water, as the word does express. You'll find that in Martin Luther's works, volume 1, page 336. And in Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay, in 28, in 19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So in 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Then Acts 19, verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And Acts 19:5, it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So it's an interesting thing, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You'll find that in all through Acts, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yet Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus said and spoke these things, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So we'd assume, common sense would prevail, that the disciples baptized people in the name of Jesus, and they baptized them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we would assume that when you get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you're getting baptized in the name of Jesus, because Jesus represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there are some Christian groups that say, unless you're baptized in the name of Jesus, your baptism is invalid. They say, if you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, your baptism's invalid. So they would rather go with the record of Acts and not with the record of the words of Jesus, which said, therefore, or go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So we come to a conclusion that obviously Jesus is telling them to get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when they baptize people in the name of Jesus, they baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's only when people who are in error with the scriptures come up with doctrines of devils and they put blockages in front of Christians. Now, the scriptures point out certain things about salvation, but if you go around telling everybody, unless you got baptized in the name of Jesus, you're putting a stumbling block in front of them, and there's no scriptures that will back you up. You're on shaky ground doing things like that. You really need to go with what the scriptures say and in a holistic approach. If you look in Acts, it says 3,000 received the word that day on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up and said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive the remission of sins. Right? And it says 3,000 were added to the church. So were they baptized? Obviously. If they weren't baptized, then Peter would have contradicted himself. So we take things in a holistic approach. When we start pulling a scripture out of here and disregarding all the other scriptures, we find ourselves on shaky ground. And that's one of the problems with people who pull scriptures and start making doctrines out of them. Somebody else comes along with other scriptures that refute what their doctrine means. They don't want to hear about it. You need to take all of the Word of God in a holistic approach. If it means reading scriptures a couple of verses before and after, and then going and finding other scriptures and reading them before and after, and then doing that to other scriptures and getting a holistic approach, you're on better, firmer ground if you do that. If you start pulling scriptures out of context, have people come to me, to my door, and they say, speaking in tongues has ceased. I say, yes. Well, the scripture you're quoting, it says, and knowledge ceases well. They don't like that. People who say, we don't believe in healing. I say, well, where can you find that in the scripture where healing's finished? And they can't find it. People who have shaky doctrines will always be in big trouble. You have to take the Bible in a holistic approach and not disregard scriptures just because they don't fit with your doctrine. You need to fit yourself with the Word of God and not try to fit the Word of God with your doctrine. If we just go to, baptism, I'll speak about baptism. What it does is it symbolizes a burial of our old life and a new beginning. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. That born again word, that again, means born from above. Again means to be born from above, from a higher place. So when we get baptized, it's a burial. God doesn't expect us to go and kill ourselves and then he raises us up. And that's, there you go, you're born again. No, we symbolize our burial by being obedient to God's word and we get baptized. God honors that by changing our spiritual situation. And we are part of the equation. We're born again as part of the equation. We need to be born of the Spirit as well. So when we get baptized, We go under the water and we come up hoping to receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to walk in that new way of life. So we bury ourselves in waters of baptism. We come up from the waters of baptism. And just like the dove ascended on Jesus, the Holy Spirit ascends on us. And we are now born again through the water, and the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to walk in that born-again life. Now, there are scriptures in the Bible where in Acts chapter 10, verse 47, where Peter went to Cornelius' place, and he said, and as Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And those of the circumcision which heard them, their circumcision were the Jewish Christians who were with Peter, they heard them speak in tongues. They knew the Holy Spirit had fallen upon them. Peter stood up and said, "Can any man forbid water that these guys be baptized just like us?" So we have a situation where the Holy Spirit fell on people and they were baptized after that. We have another situation in Acts chapter 19 where Paul baptized some people, and when he put his hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Either way, you need to be baptized and Spirit-filled. The scriptures show us that they both have to be completed. Either way, you can get baptized, then receive the Holy Spirit, or receive the Holy Spirit, get baptized. I've been in supermarkets, spoken to people, put my hand on their shoulder, asked them to pray, and all of a sudden, bang, they start speaking in tongues for the first time in their life. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. I can't give them the Holy Ghost. Only the Holy Spirit can move inside them. The Spirit sees their heart. And I take them along and get them baptized. I've had many people I've baptized. And they come out of the waters of baptism, out of rivers, and come up onto the bank, put my hand on them, have some prayer with them. In a matter of 10, 20 seconds, they're speaking in tongues and being filled with the Holy Ghost. They've completed what Jesus said in John chapter 3, "You must be born of water and of the Spirit." They're on safe ground. They're not on religious ground. They're on Bible ground, and they can expect everything from God, all the promises they can expect to operate in their life, because they've, just like Jesus, when he was going to be baptized by John the Baptist, John said, "I don't need to baptize you." But Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so for righteousness' sake." Jesus was an example unto us. If Jesus saw it fitting to get baptized, I think we should do the same thing. So baptism is a burial. It's a good conscience towards God. It's showing that you're repentant. When they came to John the Baptist, they were baptized. They repented. Nobody is going to get baptized if they're not repentant. Now, repentant doesn't mean falling on your face and confessing every little sin that you've ever done. It means, the word repent means to turn about 180 degrees, turn the other way and go God's way. That's basically what repent means. So, you know, as I say, Jesus commanded us to be baptized. And when I baptize somebody, I put them in the water and sit them down. I usually go up to about just about 7 inches above my knees. And I sit them in the water. And what I say is, I say, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" And they say, "Yes." I say, "Do you believe that he died and rose again, that you may have eternal life?" And they say, "Yes." And I say, "You know, do you believe that he died for your sins?" And they say, "Yes." And I say, "On confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And as a baptizer, I baptize them in the name of Jesus as well. and they come up and I put my hand on them. I usually get them to hold their nose. And usually when you're baptizing somebody, it's a good idea to watch their feet because they get the rock effect. Their head goes under, their arms go under, but their feet float up. Now, I try to make sure that every little part of them is under the water. I found all different things. You try to baptize them in a bathtub, it works if you can get them all under the water at the same time. I'm a stickler for the scriptures. The Bible says they went under the water, then go under the water in sections. Okay, now, I'm not sure whether if somebody goes under the water and their feet float up at the same time and their feet are popping out, I don't know whether God's going to say, well, you did the right thing. But my point is to do exactly what the Bible says, and then you're on safe ground. Then when the Lord returns, he'll say, you did your best, not just what was real, just whatever happened. No, that's unacceptable. If you're diligent in fulfilling the complete word of God, then your conscience is clear and you can't go wrong. So I usually get them to hold their nose, or I hold their nose and I put them under the water and I watch their feet, make sure it doesn't float up. If they're in a baptism tank, which is like an oversized bathtub, I'll baptize them and I'll get someone to hold their feet, and they'll go down and they'll come up. You only have to put them under for a half a second and lift them up. You sit up and then you just put your hand on the shoulder and just beforehand you've already prepped them, and just put your hand on the shoulder and just get them to say hallelujah and just think about Jesus. And most of the time they'll receive right there and then. I'll start speaking in tongues, be born again. And or if they don't receive then you take them into the prayer room and have some prayer. And people usually receive within about 5 to 10 minutes at the max. You just keep going and stopping and ministering to them. And sometimes you might have to pray over them. Might have to pray for the enemy to. You might have to bind the enemy up in their mind. They might have some mental blockages that are stopping them from receiving the Holy Spirit. So you might have to bind up the enemy. You might have to just cause the enemy to flee for a while, so that they've got a clear way, clear thoughts, and they may have guilt, all sorts of things that may have to be ministered to. These things are just blockages that stop them from coming to the Lord with a clean heart. Because you get people who say, I've got too much sin to come to God. And I say to them, look, the Bible says the worst sinner ever who truly believes, God will give him a pardon. All you have to do is just come to him in faith and believe. And he'll give you the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of going through the Bible, doing a 40-page questionnaire or a special Bible study. I've seen people in the shop, in the supermarket. I've said to them, I had one lady, one sister, and she had something wrong with her skin, and I think it was some sort of skin thing. And so I prayed for her in the aisles, in this a big department store. And as I'm praying for her, I'm talking to her after that, and then this other fella turns up, and he'd been going along to her church for 5 years. And it was a Pentecostal church. And I said to him, do you know anything about speaking in tongues? And he said, no, don't need to know about that. I said, really? I said, would you like to build a house with no hammer? And I explained to him that without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's pretty hard to get things done in the things of God. It only took a couple of minutes to show him some common sense, and he said, all right. I said, well, would you like to have the Holy Spirit right now? He said, yes. I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, just say hallelujah and ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit. And I said, in the name of Jesus, just receive ye the Holy Spirit. And I just prayed with him, and in a matter of 20 seconds, he started speaking in tongues pretty loud. And so that was pretty amazing. But that happens all the time. And that's what I do. I'm an evangelist. I go up and down the street go into supermarkets or wherever I see a need, someone gets prayed for healing. And I don't just pray for them. I don't just get them filled with the Holy Ghost and just leave them. I minister to them, make sure they're plugged into the system. Very important to do your best in discipling them. If you actually get them filled with the Holy Spirit and then just leave them, it's like a little baby. You don't leave them just laying on the ground. You pick them up, you wash them, and put them in their nappies, and put their blanket around them, and make sure they're all fixed up, and then you start ministering to them. It's the same thing with these people who are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. They're little babies in the Lord, and you have to look after them. You know, one of the things that I've really found is if you mollycoddle them, you'll have a skinny little undernourished Christian many, many years later. The best way I've found, one brother, he came to our house, and his wife, I prayed for him. He was sick, and he ended up in hospital. And she went to the hospital with him, and he was in the hospital bed. And she put her hand on him, and she said, "In the name of Jesus, I just command this sickness to go now. In the name of Jesus, I curse it." And he was instantly healed. He was amazed. Within 20 minutes, he was home. So 3 days later, he come to the little house meeting we had at our house. And he was saying to her on the way in, "I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything." And anyway, so he walked in. I said hello, and we sat down. And the Lord said to me, just get people to do their testimony. So I just pointed a few people out and asked them to give their testimony. They gave their testimony, how they came to the Lord and the miracles they've seen. And then we operated the spiritual gifts. That's tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. And the power of God turned up, and you could feel it in the place. As soon as that finished, he looked at us, and we looked at him, and he knew that the Lord was calling him. So we put our hand on his shoulder, and we just asked him to say hallelujah, and he just, bang, started speaking in tongues. And this guy was, about as far from religious as you could get. He knew nothing about nothing about nothing. He knew nothing. And yet God gave him the Holy Spirit. And so we took him down to the river and we baptized him. We came home, and his daughter was not feeling too well. So I said to him, "Come over here, I'm going to show you what to do." I said, "This is praying for the sick, just like your wife did for you." So I got him to put his hand on his shoulder, and I prayed with his daughter as well, and I said, "Just pray with us." So we prayed over her, and things started happening. He went home with his wife and his kids, and his wife, her back started playing up, and she got him to pray for her, and she was instantly healed. He was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost probably 2 hours, and he's praying for people and they're getting healed. So the idea of you having to spend years and years in deep meditation of the Lord to actually get a healing ministry going is rubbish. All you have to do is operate in faith. When you get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and you're born again of water and the Spirit, you are fully equipped. All you have to do is walk in faith. The Holy Spirit will do all the rest. So, that family is going along really great in the Lord. So we'll just leave that there.
So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.